Well, last Sunday we talked about where we've been, and last weekend we had our big gala and had testimonies and praise, and then same thing on Sunday, just shared some things about what the Lord has done over these 20 years, and it's just so many, many things. And over here we had a board for all the people serving on Team Good News, different things that they've served in over the years, and back there is a timeline, and there's a kind of a praise area over there, and just some of the scriptures and things that have meant a lot to us over these last 20 years. This is our vision over here, and mission, and our values, and so God has done some amazing things, and so we're sitting at this place, and I looked up the word 20. And what it means biblically, it means to be expectant. Which doesn't seem like something you would be after 20. You'd be like, well, hey, we've arrived. Let's get comfortable now, you know. But it means expectancy. And I really feel like that's kind of the place that we're at. And it's just interesting how I feel, is I feel like we're in a place to be able to do some bigger things than we've done in the past. And so I am expectant. I am excited about the future. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to talk some vision today. Share some things of what's coming up. But Ephesians 4, verse 11, and says this: And he himself, who's he himself? Who? And he himself gave some, everybody say some. Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I didn't know this growing up in church, but I heard this after I gave my life to Christ and started getting involved in church. They call this the fivefold ministry. Have you heard that phrase? The fivefold, and some people, you know, they put their fist like this is the fivefold. I don't know if that's a good thing or not to have it like that. But the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so in this verse, these verses here, it's going to show us the purpose of the fivefold ministry. And that's what we'll read next. It says, for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? The body of Christ. Those who have given their lives to Jesus. Those who have been born again. You know, call them saved, receive Jesus. And God's family. Those are the saints. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I grew up in church where we never talked about this verse. I never saw this verse until I was in my 20s. So I started reading through the Bible. But in the church that I grew up in, it wasn't this way at all. It was that the minister did the work of the ministry. The preacher. In our situation, it was the priest. And so it was really kind of a cushy job that I had. My job was to go on Sundays. Of course, I was baptized as a baby, but to go on Sundays, go to confession every once in a while, be confirmed, 16, by the bishop. Go on Sundays, receive communion. And then basically, you know, this was never said, but basically kind of just live however I wanted to the rest of the week and then come back on Sunday. And then there was really no requirements for me. I didn't need to read my Bible. I didn't need to pray. If someone was going to be in the hospital, the priest would go. If praying was to be done, the priest was going to do it. If studying was going to be done, the priest was going to do it. So that's my model that I grew up with. And my grandmother prayed that I would be a priest. And to go in the priesthood was something big. I'm from a Catholic background. And to go in the priesthood, so my grandmother prayed that I would be a priest. So she didn't like it very much when Susie came around. Was not happy when Susie showed up. Messed up the whole plan. And that is kind of a mentality, and it goes back a lot of years. in the church, almost 2,000, where you have the whole division of the clergy, which are these special anointed ones, and they call it the laity, the lay people. And there's this separation between the two. But if you read this, it doesn't say that the saints are there to prop up the fivefold ministry and make them look good. It says that the fivefold is to make what I call the sixfold. Introducing new terminology here. We're trying to get this going, you know, worldwide now. But the sixfold ministry. And we're saying here that the believer, and turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. We're saying that the believer has the preeminent ministry. You know how radical this is? And we're lifting up the believer, and we're not, you know, downplaying the fivefold. It's needed, but the fivefold is basically the leadership, supposed to be the leadership in the body of Christ, but the fivefold is to serve the other fold. And the way that the Apostle Paul wrote it was to equip, to train, to teach, to empower the believer, to do the work of the ministry. Now, this is not a popular message if you're used to coming just to receive. And so, like, early on pastoring, I people that I had in my life were basically telling me the same model that I had in church growing up, the whole clergy laity. And so that's the model when we started Good News Church, was my mentality. Now, we taught different things, but it was still really, Good News Church was about Susie and I. And it really got to the place where the people were there to serve us. And you get down to that whole thing, and it's really nasty and ugly. I have some bad stories. I won't tell them today. We need to be a little upbeat today. But so a shift had to happen in our mentality, and you know, you're having to let go of some things, because it's kind of nice when everybody looks to you. I mean, I'm not lying. I mean, most of the time, some of the time, to be the man, or you're, you know, Pastor Matt. You know, I'm. And then you got your entourage, you know, carrying your bags, doing stuff for you. Maybe we need to change that vision. So the Lord just began to kind of took all the things we were learning, and kind of there was a shift. And it took a long time for transition. And you know, even some things, even today, you're still dealing with. But it'll be made clear to you in 2 Corinthians 5. Turn there. I'm going to read from the Message translation, so you may just want to follow along on the screen. But 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17, it's the heart of what we call the believer's ministry. It's at the heart. And so let's look at what it says. Starting in verse 17. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Anybody happy about that? Is created new. The old life is gone, the new life burgeons. Look at it! All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah. Excuse me, jumped way ahead here. iPad is not cooperating here. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering the forgiveness of sins. God has given us. God, now who's he talking to here? Is he talking to the fivefold? To the believers? To the saints? The saved ones? He has given to us the task of telling everyone what he was doing. We are Christ's representatives. Are you seeing this? Am I making this up? New King James says ambassadors. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us. See, and this is not being taught everywhere. A whole lot of believers, and you know, we have 2 billion, they say, whatever. Whole lot of believers have no clue about this. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. New King James says, the ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors for Christ. Christ representatives. And so what Paul was saying, and what Paul had a revelation of, and it really makes a whole lot of sense. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost? Did the Holy Spirit come into that room and then they just had a more powerful prayer meeting? They just had a more powerful teaching? When the Holy Spirit came, He empowered them. He came upon them. Acts 1:8 says to be witnesses. And again, not just ministers. It says upon whoever the Holy Spirit comes upon. But in that 120, now the apostles were there, but there were a whole lot of other people there. What did the Holy Spirit do? He blew them out of that room, the upper room, out into the streets. And in a short time, we hear, and Peter preached, but in a short time we had 3,000 people saved, and now the church is going. This is the model they had back in the early church. Somewhere along the way, we got organized, and I know you need to do that, but we got organized and we started separating the clergy and the laity, and for all kinds of reasons. And man got in the way. Flesh got in the way. That always happens. And really perverted what God had started the day of Pentecost. And we're still dealing with it today. But despite that, God's still doing amazing things in the earth. And you know, 2 billion Christians, that's amazing. But in order to wrap this thing up, we've got to get back to the early model. Who's interested in wrapping this up? It says, when the gospel was preached to the nations, and that just doesn't mean each of the 200-something nations, it means all the 16,000 different ethnic groups. When the gospel is preached to the nations, then the end will come. And so we are a part of a network of people, we don't even know right now, that we're changing the mentality of the church to look at the sixfold ministry and to look at the believers doing the work of the ministry and training people to be ambassadors to Christ and training people to be ministers of reconciliation. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do because we live in this crazy world. And we still have to deal with the mentality is that it's, you know, it's the pastor's job to do the ministry. Still fighting that. But I am determined today after 20 years, and there's been some days when you want to quit and just do something different. But I am determined, as far as when we look into the future and where we're going, this is the direction. And so, having said all that, now let's put our vision up on the screen. This is the vision for Good News Church. Now, what is vision? Vision is future sight. The mission, empowering people to give life, that's what we do every day. We're in the power, empowering people to give life business. So we do that on a daily basis. But the vision is future sight. It's something in the future. We don't have it yet. Now, we may have glimpses of it. Parts are happening. Do we got it, guys? Well, that's... I mean, I can read what's on the wall, but do we have it, Nate? I want to put it up there. It's in your bulletin, too. But anyway, it's so... This is the challenge. Habakkuk says, wait for it. How many like to wait for things? I remember one Wednesday, I was so discouraged. Okay, you ever been discouraged? Anybody? I came into the Wednesday service very, very discouraged about the church and people's lives and all the things were going on. And Susie was just led by the Spirit and had this testimony service. And everybody that got up shared, I give life testimonies. It was not planned. And I would have been fine with someone being healed and someone being blessed. But they all shared about how they gave life. And God just is like, was like saying to me, it's happening. Do we got it, Nate? All right, well, I'm just going to move on. I'm moving on. Put it up when you can. Yeah, it's on the back of the bulletin. If you've got your bulletin, it's right here. But this, so having said all this, this is what the vision of the church is. We see out in the future a community of believers. All these words were argued about and fought over and worked on. A believer strongly connected to God and to each other. Now, that's a huge part of the vision. I don't have time for that right now, but that's a major part of the vision. Strongly connected to God and to each other. Empowered by the Word of God in the Holy Spirit to be able ministers. Reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. And so we are raising up in this congregation able ministers. Now, you may not like that, you may not want that, but that's what the Lord's given us to do, and that's what we're doing. And teach a whole lot of things from the Word, but the purpose is to raise up able ministers. And the purpose is to get you to look at yourself differently and to see yourself differently. It's not just the person always receiving, and you need to receive, but to be the person giving and giving out. And so it's a shifting. To see yourself there. Now, what am I saying about being an able minister? Here's some things that I'm not necessarily saying. It may happen. I'm not saying that you're going to stand on a corner and preach to people. You may like to do that. That's not my thing. Most of the people I've seen doing that, they don't do a very good job. They just condemn people. I would do it differently. But I'm not saying, aren't you glad, Tony? I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that you're going to be standing up here with a microphone preaching to a crowd. Some of you, that may be your calling. But for many, it just says some. So I'm not necessarily... So when I'm talking about being a minister, and see, that's the mentality. You're wearing some kind of outfit here, and you got a microphone on, preaching to a crowd, or maybe teaching a class. I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying that being an able minister is you going to live in Africa or Pakistan or Saudi or whatever. That may happen, but first and foremost, we're going to train you to be a believer and train you to hear from God. And for some of you, it may turn into a full-time ministry. But the primary ministry for all of it is the believer's ministry. Do y'all seeing that? The primary ministry, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, that's the primary ministry. But the church thinks, when we say the word minister, they're thinking this. You know, some guy up here downloading everything, all the great revelations they got, give it to you. And you don't really do anything with it, but that, you know, I look good. But in order to reach all these nations, this mentality has got to change. And God set up, and see, think about it this way. Each person has a sphere of influence of 100 to 150 people. Mm-hmm. Some people may be more than that. But 100 to 150 people. Now think about that. Last Sunday, I think we're less today, but last Sunday we had 150 people here in the auditorium. Now let's just say it's 100 people that you have an influence over. Conservative, you know, lower number. That means 150 people influencing 100 people is impacting 15,000 people. Now let me ask you, a church of 15,000 people, would you think that church is doing something? I mean, they call it the mega church. But 15,000 people. That's that. And think about this in terms of 60 to 80% in the U.S. of people aren't coming to church. And so we're focused on the 20 to 40% when 60 to 80 aren't even coming to church. Doesn't it make sense to empower people in church, the services or in what you do, empower them to go out there in the world and reach the other 60 to 80%? Doesn't it make sense for Tony to be trained in what he does to go into his world? And he doesn't have to know the whole Bible. He doesn't have to be able to go on TV. He just needs to be able to share his story and share what God's done in his life and really know a few things about getting someone saved, filled with the Spirit, being bold to step out and pray for someone for healing. And it's really God, how God set it up. You know, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Why? So the Holy Spirit can come and live in his body. Instead of everything has to revolve around one person. It's never been the one man show. When after the day of Pentecost. So what am I seeing? What are we seeing as we're going into the future? I see us doing at least three things. And hopefully y'all want to be a part of this. I see us doing three things and doing some things, three things well coming up in the future. The first one, and guys, I'm probably not going to use scriptures. Or this first one, I'll just tell you when. But this first one is what I see us doing, and we've done a lot of this over the years. The first one, you remember Philip ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch? You remember that story? The Ethiopian eunuch is, you know, he's reading from the book of Isaiah. God leads Philip supernaturally to connect with the Ethiopian eunuch for this moment. Go over Isaiah, he was reading. He preaches Christ to him, baptizes him, and then God snatches him away. And it says that the Ethiopian eunuch was rejoicing. That was just an encounter. That was just a moment of time. And it doesn't say anything about the two of them ever seeing each other again. I want the people of Good News Church to be ready for these Holy Spirit encounters. Now, Nate, you look so comfortable. Come on up here. You were talking about Shockwave at the CADA class, and what we're talking about here. Just share for just briefly about this, about these encounters, and what the Lord's showing you about that.
Make it up as you go along.
Okay. Back in 2011, the Lord really revealed some stuff to me about the believer's ministry, really, in essence. And I issued a challenge to the congregation to share the gospel with one person a day for the next 7 days. And so no sooner had I said that than I realized I really need a rope on my words, because I wish I hadn't said that, because it means I need to take that challenge that I issue. And so I did. And for the next 7 days, I shared the gospel with at least one person a day for 7 days, and ended up praying with five or six people to be saved. Many days I shared the gospel with more people. And that 1 week led to 2 weeks, led to a month, led to over 100 days of sharing the gospel with at least one person a day. And some days were easier than others. Some days God just set me up, you know, send a couple of kids to my door and ring on the doorbell, and they're selling chocolate bars, and I'm a sucker for chocolate, so I buy the chocolate bars, $2, and I send them on their way. And then Kristen walks up to me and she's like, "Wait, what are you doing? Aren't you going to share the gospel with them?" And I'm like, "Wait, what am I thinking?" And it was an opportunity that God had presented right in front of me. And so I open the door, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt, barefoot, and I just run down the driveway and chase after these kids. I'm like, "Wait a second." And they're like, "Oh, you want more candy? No, 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 I've got something to offer you." And I shared the gospel with these 9-10-year-old kids who were selling candy bars, and both of them gave their life to Christ. And so it was encounters like that that seemed to happen almost every other day. And what God revealed to me during that time is just, if we have His heart and His compassion for reaching the lost, that He'll send people our way, and it'll be easy. You're going to have to overcome some obstacles. You're going to have to overcome these feelings of fear and caring about what people think about you. You have to overcome some of that stuff, but it'll get easier as you do it, as you share. And ultimately, it's the first shockwave happened when Jesus revealed to us the Great Commission. He said, "Go into all the world." He dropped that bomb on us, right? And the second shockwave is the commissioned going. And so this shockwave of harvesters going out into their worlds, it talks about that He would thrust laborers out into the harvest. And that's what He's doing. And He's using Good News Church as a platform for that, to not only send out harvesters from Good News Church, but also in other hubs across the nation and across the world. We've got Good News Church Aurora. We've got Good News Church Katak. I mean, we've got these hubs and then other ministries that we're associated with that are carrying this message, that it's your ministry. And it's my ministry, as because I'm not just a pastor. I'm a believer. You understand? So, you know, I have to go and do what He's called me to do in my world, as well as inspire others to do the same thing and equip others to do the same thing. I don't know exactly what you were wanting here, but is that okay?
Good, Nate.
All right.
I'm just trying to test Nate as often as I can. No, that was good. But I like that shockwave. And that's something that we're going to see more of that. You and your world, impacting your world. Just, you know, just God-ordained situations. It may not be someone you might see again, but just for that moment. And you have life. You have life to give. And so we want you equipped for that. Now, the second area, the next thing, is we're going to be doing some rescue operations. Put up that scripture from Jude, verse 20, I think it is. We got that, guys? "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. So shockwave, you know, that's about really people we don't know. Just encounters, like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It's just an encounter. And God gives you something for that moment. And you step out and you're bold and you minister to them. But now this is talking about something a little different. This is talking about people in your world that you have a relationship with. It may be a family member. It might be a neighbor. Might be a schoolmate. Might be a coworker. Might be someone that you see often at a store or something like that. And this is a rescue operation. You know, their faith may be wavering. They may be tempted to fall away. All kind of situations. And God's going to use you. It's probably going to be over a period of time to reach those folks. But Susie, why don't you come and share a little bit about that?
I had a warning, Nate. Yeah, you know, we all have people, as Matt said. The average person has 150 people in your sphere of influence. So that's a lot of people that God is intended for you to impact in some way. And I could tell so many stories, your stories of people you've impacted. But one of my favorite stories is something that happened early on when God was revealing this to us about all of us being able ministers, every believer. And Steve Smith was in our congregation. It was before he and Pat had moved off to Nashville. And Steve was in the church from real early on, the first couple months of the church. He and Pat had come and had heard this message, and really God had changed their lives. And they'd found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about healing, about all kinds of things. And Steve was a manager. He worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield, and he was a manager there. And one day he's in the office, and he's walking through, and he notices one of the people that worked for him, one of the ladies worked for him, kind of was seemed upset, and he saw her, and he went on in his office, and in a moment someone came in and said, look, you know, her name's Debbie. He said, something's going on with Debbie. She just got off the phone, and he looked out and saw her, and she was just sobbing at her desk, and said, you need to do something. So Steve, you know, he's the manager, he's the one that gets to deal with the sobbing people. And so he brings Debbie into his office and says, Debbie, what's going on? What's happened? And she just, through tears, she can hardly talk, and finally gets her calmed down enough she can communicate. Debbie was several months pregnant, and she had just gotten off the phone with her OB. And she'd had some testing done, and in the testing, and I don't know why these, you know, seems like this would have been appropriate to bring you into the office to discuss, but for whatever reason, they had told her while she was at work, the test had come back and indicated that the child she was carrying was severely deformed. She would likely lose the baby, and if she didn't, when the baby was born, it would be a very, very difficult situation for the child. And so, of course, she's just overwhelmed with grief and this terrible pain and, terrible moment. There's Steve. And Steve's, you know, not the most comforting guy you would ever meet. You know, he's, those of you who know him, he wouldn't mind me saying that. He's not like, you know, really a sweet man. But he wasn't quite sure what to do. And suddenly Steve remembered that he did know what to do, because he had just been learning about the power of God. And he'd been learning about what the scripture said. And he said, you know, Debbie, I know you're a Christian. You and I have talked about, you know, going to church before, and I believe you're a Christian. He talked with her and asked her if she was, made sure she was born again, and she was. And he said, you know, I don't know if you know this, but when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just pay the penalty for our sins, but through his death, burial, and resurrection, he redeemed us from all the effect of sin. Doesn't just mean we get to go to heaven when we die, but the sickness and disease that came on mankind and the abnormality that came as a result of sin, Jesus came to redeem us from that. And he started talking to her about the realities of our redemption. And she'd really never heard this before. So we start sharing that with her. And he said, you know, I think that's what you need right now. We need to focus in on what the Bible says in these critical moments of our lives. So Steve, right there in his office, a completely secular environment, he opens his Bible and he begins to go through scriptures with her. And as he went through scriptures with her, she quit crying. She kind of, her tears dried up a little and she got interested. You realize because she was in a desperate moment. And she got kind of interested in what he was saying, and she said, where is that? I've never heard that scripture. And he read another. I've never heard that. Can you write those down? He said, absolutely. And so he wrote them down for her, those scriptures. And so he's talking to her, and he said, you know, I think we need to pray about this situation. Let's don't just take the doctor's word. I mean, the doctor's seen some things and has a test, but there is a higher report. There is the report of the Lord. And so Steve's sitting there with her, and he'd never done this with anybody before. This was all pretty new to him. And he's talking to her, and he says, let's just pray. And so they just caught hands, and based on the scriptures, they just caught their hands, and they just agreed together concerning this situation. They spoke to that baby, called it normal, commanded whatever was going on to be made right. And then, so she's, you know, nothing's changed as far as they can tell. But so what Steve began to do is he had those scriptures he'd written down for her, and he started giving her articles and things like that about healing. And she took those home and shared them with her husband. And she would, every day she'd come into the office, and Steve would, he would remind her that God was working, and he'd remind her about the scriptures, and he'd give her more articles. He'd give her some books, and he was praying with her and praying for her. And this went on throughout the pregnancy, you know. There was, they didn't know what was going on with the baby. She never did, you know, miscarry and on. The baby was born, and lo and behold, the baby was perfectly normal. Praise God. And that really impacted Steve, because Steve realized that this woman and this baby, they needed God, and they needed the truth of God's word. And she wasn't getting that in her life where she was. She didn't know about that. But he had life to give her. And it was hard for him because it was, he had some obstacles to overcome. I mean, you're not supposed to do this at work. And he's a man, she's a woman. And then, you know, he's her boss. And so there's all kinds of things he had to kind of step beyond. What are people going to think? A lot of things. You know, what if it doesn't work? Putting myself on the line. But he just stepped out and took what he knew, what had become a living reality in his own life, and he just shared it with her. He just gave her what had been given to him. And God worked in that woman's body and in that child. And thank God. Thank God that God was able to use Steve as an able minister to share with that lady the life, the truth that she needed, and totally change that situation. And like I said, I could tell you so many stories similar to that. But we, every one of us, whatever we've received, we have that now to give. Whatever you have received is yours to give. Freely you've received. So now you can freely give it with other people, to other people. And you don't have to ask God, is it okay if I share healing? Is it okay if I share forgiveness, if I show mercy? You don't have, it's yours to share. You received it freely. Now you give it. And I love that scripture. It says that as we give mercy to people, other people, I think this is a really something we see right now is so needed. He talks about that other people are under condemnation, but you and me have mercy. And there are people that have been so condemned by the church. They've been condemned by other believers. They've been condemned by the enemy, but you and me can show mercy. And it doesn't mean we're condoning their sin. We can show mercy, because that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He showed mercy to people, and he saved them, and he snatched them from the fire. And we can do the same thing, because, oh, what great mercy he's shown you and me. And if he's given us mercy, if God could be merciful to you, through you, he can be merciful to anybody. Because if you got mercy, come on, everybody. Everybody can receive mercy from you.
Praise God. Is it 10 till 12?
Yeah,
keep on going. Good grace. What's with the clock? It happened last week. All right, so we're talking about shockwave. talked about rescuing people. And now there's a third thing. And this is going to be more of long-term relationships. Put up 2 Timothy 2:2 in the first, I think it's amplified. Put up an amplified first. It says, "And the instructions which you have heard from me along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also." I'll put it up in the Message translation. Pass on what you've heard from me, the whole congregation saying amen, to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. And so the third thing we're talking about doing, and we're going to see more of this as we go into 2016, we're going to talk more about this, is the where it's more of a long-term relationship where God places people in your life either to help teach and train you, to sharpen things in your life, or for you to impart to them. And certainly, you know, we're talking about families here is included in that. That's first and foremost. You know, if I have not trained my kids and imparted into my family, then what have I done? So first of all, we're starting in the home. That's a given. You know, I started with my kids when they were babies, holding them, confessing God's word over them. I can remember, where's Maddie? Right there, Maddie Sue, reading the scriptures to her at, 2 and 3 years old, Psalm 23, Psalm 91. And I noticed something unusual about Maddie. After a while, I'd read the first verse, and then she'd just quote me the whole rest of the chapter. But we instilled in them the different values of things about being in church, about service, about giving, about a love for the world, the Word of God, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, about who you are in Christ. These are things in our home that we instilled in our kids, about fulfilling God's plan for their lives. And we didn't leave it, and Nate is an amazing person, and Terry and other different teachers that we've had of our kids over the years, we just didn't leave it to them to do that job. We felt that it was our responsibility. So first and foremost, we're talking about this kind of discipleship pouring into our kids and pouring into our family, pouring into our mates. But then there's going to be things outside of our home. And I'm already seeing it happen in the church. Some people are already doing. And that's where I was talking about last week, where I see God forming some relationships. I see maybe just 2 people getting together. I see 3 or 4 people getting together. I see maybe prayer groups happening. I see Bible studies happening. Tom, why don't you come up here? I put Tom on the spot too. Well, he's just sitting over there all comfortable. And Tom, you understand what I'm talking about here. I mean, you started this marriage group, and that's not an easy thing to do. No. But what was on your heart? Why would you think that you were going to be able to start this marriage group? What happened there, and how did you end up starting it?
Sitting around and wanting to know, how could I be a part of the body of Christ and be an able minister where I lived. I saw some of the good things that was going on in my 34 years of marriage to my wife. And we have done something right because we didn't argue all the time. We didn't disagree all the time. So I looked at that and I said, well, that could be a model in the church. And then we started fellowshipping with other couples and inviting them over for coffee. Everybody know me, I like coffee. And we start talking and trying to see, if we could work together. And then we sit down at the table and open up the Bible. And we ask questions about things that are going on in their lives. And then we just tried to impart what God was saying in His Word. And we were using the scriptures to help the people. And then we start to notice that some of the couples were beginning to take on what God was saying, and I decided at that point to mention it to Pastor Matt and ask him, is it something that we could bring to the church where we could have a situation where there was a war on divorce, because I know that a divorce is against everything that God has set in place. So that is how we got the opportunity to have the marriage enrichment. And what we say in there is what we say in there, stay in there, because we all have things in our lives. And so this is the whole purpose of it, is for one of each one of us to reach down and to help the other person to be strong in their marriage so that they can share that with their families and friends. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel, is sharing. Praise the Lord.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. Praise God.
And you're invited.
You're invited. Is Grayson in here? I don't think. Harry, come here. You guys have started with the help of others, a group here for younger folks.
Right.
Share about that a little bit. How'd that start?
Yeah, a year ago this time, we were actually in Peru, four of us were. And down there, they were meeting in their house every day, literally. It was crazy. And they would have a bunch of young people come, college-age kids, and they would just teach and talk. And so Parker and I and Wesley and Grayson got together, and we're like, we need to do this here. Why aren't we doing this? This is just so easy. We could just do this real quick. And so in January of this year, we started meeting at Parker's house, and we had already been meeting with some group of guys. And it turns out when you get girls involved that more guys come. And so we brought the girls on too, and it started growing. And so part of that group, basically, we just teach very simple things, and it's all about reaching the lost. That's the end goal. But we've had people filled with the Spirit in there. We've had people healed in there. And then what's so awesome is that we've had people who've been a part of that group go into their worlds. And we just had a story even just from this week of a guy who got filled with Spirit a couple of weeks ago. And he's doing crazy things, y'all. Getting words of knowledge for people and saying, I know your knee, something's wrong with it. Let me pray for you. Just like wild stuff. And so just basically giving God a space to work in. Just giving him a time. Hey, we're going to meet here. You do something. And so that's been going on all year. And so if you are a college kid or you're 18, somewhere in that range, at Parker's house, Thursday nights at 7:30, somewhere in there, you should come on and join us. And I won't be there, but other good people will be there.
And so these groups, and there's other things are happening, and it's not something that we initiated. It's not something we tried to make happen. It's been just God working in people's hearts, realizing they have been given, entrusted all this knowledge and information. And anybody that starts anything, you feel inadequate. But you just feel, I mean, with God's help, you have something to impart and to share to others. Now, we talk about these relationships, Paul and his son Timothy. And so we talk about kind of a mentor relationship there. And then we talk about a Barnabas relationship, Paul and Barnabas. That's kind of like peers, you know, sharpening each other. But I don't really care about all that terminology. I mean, we'll use it and teach from it. But to me, I'm not thinking this is a Barnabas, this is a Paul, this is a Timothy in my life. These are just people that God's connected me with. And I want to have a relationship with them. And in that relationship, we start sharing who we are and what we have. And God grows them and grows you. And so what I'm saying is, there's a whole lot of you that have been here a while. You have a lot in you. And God's got these people that you're connected with. And so as we're going into the future, I want you to be more intentional about some of these relationships. Spending time with people, getting coffee, having a meal together, making a fire and inviting people over. And it doesn't have to be all just sharing the word and prayer. It's just getting to know each other, being strongly connected to each other. But I mean, how can I disciple all you in less than 3 hours in a week? Hour and a half on Sundays, an hour and 15 minutes on Wednesdays, and everybody can't come to all this. How are we going to have strong believers? How's that going to work? It's got to be things happening outside of the church where people are helping each other. On the day of Pentecost, it blew out 120 people on the streets. What happens if we had 120 people that got this? And what I'm saying, everybody in, you know, I think Tom's group might be all church folks, but he's open to anybody, I mean, to come. And same thing with the young, you know, the meeting at Parker's house. They're open to people. It doesn't have to be Good News Church people. And so I'm not saying have, you know, just form something. In fact, I probably prefer you're reaching out to people outside of the church. So what am I asking? I'm asking you to be sensitive. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let them kind of be, you know, I'm just trying to plant some seeds here and get you thinking. Some of you are doing it already, and I'm going to ask your help and how we can get it out to more people. How can we help people do these kind of things? So I'm probably going to get some teams together to talk about some of these things. But I want this to be a church that we do the shockwave. I want this to be a church that's a rescue ministry. We're rescuing people. And I want this to be a church of where we're doing intentional discipleship. And you're going to look at me like, that's impossible. Well, let me just dream then. But I believe it can be done. I believe it needs to be done. And I believe that it's going to happen here. It's going to happen in other churches. And we all get to be a part of it. And it doesn't mean in order for you to be an able minister that your life is perfect. Because it's not going to be. Because there's a devil out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're in this where you're giving, it makes life so much more rich, so much more exciting. This is the abundant life in John 10:10. It's thrilling to give. And then these problems in our lives, a lot of times they'll just kind of fade away as you're focused on what God's doing and being used by Him. I believe there's people here today that you're not engaged in. Maybe any of these three, you know, within the next year, you're going to be involved in these things. All you have to do is be willing and be open. And to listen. And God's going to use you.